You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Best barbecue you'll ever have. Billy G's CarolinaBarbecue.com to order your catering for your next event. Billy G's Carolina Barbecue in Columbia. CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com to have the Carolina Gold, and you can get the Sweet Heat, and you can get the Secret Spice Rub all sent to your home. And if you're not a very good cook, it'll make it all taste better. I promise you. Sweet Heat, by the way, is really, really, really delicious on, like, if you smoke like chicken, because it's not hot. It's not like spicy or anything like that. But if you like smoke chicken and stuff like, oh man, it is fantastic. Yeah. And that rub we put on everything.
Yeah. We used the secret spice on some, couple of racks of ribs the other night.
Yeah.
Game changer.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is, man.
I normally make my own dry rub, but now I'm just going to, you know, forego all that and just use Billy's. That way I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, dude. It is. I mean, it's, that's what I love about their stuff is how flexible it is. Is that a good
versatile
word? Versatile. Much better. Yeah. How versatile it is. So thanks to Mr. Bill and his entire team for making our meals pretty spectacular around here. All right, so I just got your text, Phil. We were hoping to get this guy, and we've got him back next week, next Thursday. Daniel Kelly will join us. So that's the – when I wait a second, that's the day of the draft.
Yeah, draft day. We get him on draft day.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Perfect.
We'll get his final thoughts before they kick things off.
See if he holds on to his Rattler projections and
he's got him out as the number one value in the draft.
So that's an interesting word, value.
Yeah.
It didn't say quarterback, it says number one value in the draft. I'd love to pick his brain on that. Just this morning, The Jeremy Fowler, senior NFL national reporter for ESPN, gave his stacked tiers of quarterbacks. And he's got tier one, tier two. So in tier one, he's got Caleb Williams all by himself. He's got Jaden Daniels in tier two alongside Drake May. This is interesting. He's got tier 2.5 is Michigan's J.J. McCarthy. And he said that the most frequent scout and executive comp is a mix of Kirk Cousins and Brock Purdy for J.J. McCarthy, which is interesting. Michael Penix Jr. is in tier 3, according to Fowler. And his comp is Tua Tagovailoa and Jordan Love. He's also got Bo Nix in tier three. And then in tier four, he's got Rattler. And he is in there with Michael Pratt from Tulane, Joe Milton from Tennessee, and then he's got Jordan Travis and Sam Hartman in tier five. Look, all the respect in the world to Jeremy Fowler, but his most frequent scout and exec comps on Rattler, Sam Howell and Will Levis, dude. They're not, yeah.
I don't even know if those are comps.
I mean, those aren't, I'm not really, where are you getting that from? They're not, I mean, I can understand it a little bit from the arm strength standpoint, but I mean, these are all different quarterbacks. He's got a quote in here from some AFC coach. Offensive coach who said, quote, he can freaking spin it now. One of the best pure throwers in the draft. And he went on to say, or another scout in the AFC went on to say, he grew up over the duration of his career, live arm, tough as blank, starts with an S, ends with an it. Horrible OL play, was getting killed out there last year. So that's not very. If the offensive lineman in South Carolina read that, I mean, I put that on a board in the locker room somewhere.
Yeah.
But, also, and this is kind of what I would expect to hear after all the interviews, Phil. An AFC exec said, quote, he is said to have matured from the past, and I believe it. He's a super humble kid. We had good information on that, and that came out on the other side of it. The biggest concern might be decision-making from the pocket. You would have liked to have seen more production from him. So, like, that's kind of where I get caught up in some of this, and where I give some credit to Daniel Kelly. Now, again, I don't know that, Daniel Kelly's predictions on Spencer Rattler are pretty outlandish when it comes to most everybody else who has scouted all the quarterbacks that are in this draft. But I will say this for Daniel Kelly, and it's one of the reasons we have him on our show. He sees what we saw. I mean, I'm not so sure how, and again, I don't know, but how NFL executives and coaches and these guys that they're getting on the record, I guess off the record, that are saying he can do all these things athletically, one of the best throwers, humble kid, smart kid, like all the intangibles, all the stuff you want. And then question is decision-making when they sit there and tell you, well, he was sacked over 40 times last year. And he played behind an offensive line that was terrible. Well, yeah, I mean, you probably think that he would have had more poor decisions than he did, right? So, I that's why it keeps taking me back to, it's going to be the right franchise that's like, look, we're going to put the pieces around you. We don't need you to go through all this here. You need to be able to step back and throw the football. And right. If you can do that, we're going to win a bunch of games. And so it just seems like a lot of people were talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, give him the opportunity with a real offensive line and some, decent weapons around him. I mean, the guy can make all the throws, short, intermediate, deep, all those crazy outs, puts the ball right where it's supposed to be, outside of his, I guess physical metrics where he's not as tall as some of the other guys and some of those other things they look for at the scouting level. Somebody's getting a hell of a deal on this guy that I think is going to have a good career in the NFL. I mean, I don't think he'll just be toting clipboards.
No, no way.
No.
Yeah.
We've seen it. He's too talented for that.
Too talented. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's such an interesting quarterback draft class. Look, I hear everybody too on JJ McCarthy. I don't see it. I'm sorry, man. I just don't see it. Like he continues to rise draft boards. There's an NFL exec that said I don't see him getting past five or six, like the fifth or sixth pick in the draft. I don't see it. I mean, I know he's a really good player. I know he's, I'm not saying he's a bad player. That's not what I'm getting at here. Like, that's going to be misconstrued. I don't mean that. But if Rattler's being underhyped, I feel like this kid's being overhyped.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way about him, and I feel the same way about Caleb Williams too. Just overhyped. I don't think they're going to deliver the value at which they'll be drafted.
Yeah. Is there a clear, surefire quarterback answer in this draft? Like, this guy is, can you say about any of these guys, that dude is a dude, doesn't matter where he goes, he's going to be successful?
I just don't see it. I don't see anybody that I would be able to push all my chips in on the table and be like, that's the one. You know, I mean, you got some guys who have some physical potential. You've got, you know, Jaden Daniels being the high athletic upside guy. You know, there's all sorts of different little developmental projects, I think, here that we know that NFL teams are not going to shy away from that because they feel like they can fix it. You know, like, all I need is a couple years with this guy and I can turn him into exactly what we need. But I think it's interesting. I think any of these quarterbacks in this year's draft, say through the first like five or six, you know, guys could have success at the next level, but it's going to be less about them and more about the team around them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm reading up on this column here, and there's just things that just continue to baffle me. I mean, Caleb Williams at number one. First of all, his comp is Aaron Rodgers. And then they go on to say other comps include Pat Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Kyler Murray. You just listed four totally different quarterbacks. I mean, I could see Rodgers and Mahomes have some things that they do. You know, they've got some unorthodox type throws and stuff like that from time to time. I get it. But you know, these are totally different quarterbacks. What's more interesting is everybody that has been asked about Caleb Williams outside of the talent, they use terms like rare gifts and he's in his own class. He's a star from a talent standpoint. These are the quotes from the teams who were asked about his interviews. Good, not great. Relatively engaged, not in full-blown interview mode. An AFC exec went on to say Williams' pro day was, quote, just okay. I don't think he's had a great spring. He's still going first. That's a done deal. But while he was a no-brainer 3 months ago, there's at least a conversation now. Even still, he's a smart kid, a good kid. He just knows where he's going. Another scout went on to say, everyone who spends time with him says he's a good kid. The noise on the outside, I just don't think that's him. Well, for all the homework that these guys do, don't you want to know whether that's him or not? I mean, this is a guy, this has come up before, that he wants like a share of the franchise and he does, he's disengaged in interviews. Well, how is that going to translate down the road? Is he going to be disengaged in practice because he knows he's the starting quarterback? Like, these are all things that have traditionally mattered for players that are going in the first round. It's kind of like the MLB draft. Don't screw up your first round draft pick. You're going to get fired. And so you flip the page and then you go and you see the things that folks say about, not just Spencer Rattler, but you know, Drake May, and I give a lot of credit to J.J. McCarthy on this, outstanding interviews, very engaged. Obviously, he's got something to fight for here. All these guys do. So that would be a red flag to me. If I'm taking a quarterback at number one, and this guy's the most talented quarterback in the draft, but he's just disengaged because he already knows that. He knows he's going number one. I don't know that I need that as a leader. I'd rather figure out something different.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you want to see that guy like locked in, right? Like trying to get things ahead of time, you know, familiarizing himself with the playbook to whatever extent he could, you know, within or without the bounds of the rules. No, you just see, you know, this immature 20-something, you know, here having it, living his life. And you know, and I don't necessarily blame him for that, but it's not the mentality I would think you look for in someone who you're essentially giving all the tools to be the next superstar at the next level. I just don't see him holding up his end of the deal there.
I don't know. I'm not an NFL draft expert, but I'm pretty good at reading people. I know that. And reading between the lines. And this kid is just continued to be questioned about his makeup. And I get it. The first round is all about talent.
Yeah.
But we continuously hear about makeup. That's why they do all these things. He didn't show up and do anything at the combine. He had a poor pro day. He's had poor interviews. And he's just a shoe-in, locked-in, consensus number one draft pick who spent his entire career with Lincoln Riley at two different schools.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I just don't understand. I think that's the NFL front office and coaching ego, though. It was just like, if I can mold that raw talent into what it is that we need, without considering, you know, what's between his ears on a personal level that is going to have effect on his work ethic and things like that, and his mentality. And I mean, it's just, I feel like I've seen Caleb Williams get so frustrated and get so emotionally wrapped up in what he's doing. And until he matures emotionally enough to be able to go beyond that, then it will forever be an impediment to his success.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you. No doubt. All right. It's 12:20. We will step aside for a timeout. When we return, we've got, again, still Alex Jones to get to with plenty of Gamecock football today, but we've got some stuff on South Carolina baseball as well. It's a full boat, and it's Tuesday. Hang tight. Inside the Gamecocks show, we'll be right back.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
The season rolls on at Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. Rev up your season with Love's exclusive specials on Suburbans, Tahoes, Silverados, Trailblazers, and the ever-popular Chevy Trax. They're hard to find. At Love Chevy, get behind the wheel and feel the possibilities. New adventures, new destinations, just you and the open road. Act now for Springtacular Savings at Love Chevrolet, the best selection of new Chevys, the lowest price, guaranteed. The other dealers upsell, overcharge, and will say most anything to get the sale. At Love Chevy, satisfied customers say it all. Things like helpful, knowledgeable, honest, and fun. Your trusted hometown Chevy dealer since 1961. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
That's the power.
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark and go Gamecocks.
Hey Gamecock Nation, my name is Kyle, longtime listener of the show and avid golfer. I wanted to take my game to the next level, but let's face it, golf is a hard game to learn on your own. I heard the ad from McKellar Enterprises and reached out to the owner and former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. In just 2 months of working with Meredith, I shot my lowest round ever, and I've never felt more confident in my golf game. So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, go to McKellarEnterprises.org and book your lesson today with former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. Go Gamecocks.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Our coverage of Gamecocks baseball is presented by Resto Pros of the Midlands. On call 24 hours a day and ready to respond to your emergency needs.
Yeah, it's game day for the Gamecocks in the Lowcountry tonight to take on the Citadel Bulldogs down at the Joe. Tyler Pitzer will get the ball tonight. A reminder, our coverage of Gamecock baseball is presented by Resto Pros of the Midlands, RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. But Tyler Pitzer will get the start tonight. He was able to close out Saturday's ball game. Connor Comiskey, the senior righty for the Dogs, will be first off the bump for them. 17 and two-thirds, 18 walks, 18 strikeouts. Pitzer, a 3.12 ERA, 38 strikeouts in 26 innings pitched. And this is the final quad four opportunity of the year. So basically the final game of the regular season where South Carolina could take a quote-unquote bad loss, and it really would be a bad loss to a Bulldogs team that's really, really, really struggling at 16-18, 0-9 in the Southern Conference. It's tough sledding down there right now. I can tell you that. They've had, for the last few years, like 1 year, pretty much the whole offense gets hurt for the Gamecocks. So next year, pretty much the whole staff gets hurt. You feel like there's just nobody. Right. Combine those two. That's what's going on at the Citadel. I mean, they've got injuries galore, and they don't know what to do. I mean, they don't have the depth, and so they're doing everything that they can to try to, push through it. This is a game South Carolina should probably handle, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. First pitch tonight at 7 o'clock, and then the homestand comes. A reminder, too, Carolina this past week going 3-1 against Florida and North Carolina, all on the road. And that's something that just hasn't been said. They went to a neutral site, and they won, and they went to Gainesville, and they won. 3-1 in that four-game stretch away from Founders Park. So, you know, I did see earlier today, like there are some mid-season projections and things like that that are out that still have the Gamecocks as a two seed. I don't. I've got them as a one seed, probably as the 15 overall, maybe the 16, but they're in there based on their resume. And if they win tonight and they find a way to take the series this weekend against Arkansas, clearly that will just continue to move up. If anybody does have them kind of teeter-tottering as a two seed, they'll be in as a one after this week, maybe if they need another prove-it moment. But they certainly have plenty of quad one opportunities left to continue to move up that chain there. Phil, so, but this is the last, this is like the last game. I know that they still go to Winthrop and ETSU still comes to town as well. I get it, but this is really the last, this is the only quad four that's left on the schedule. So it's really the last one where you'd shake your head and go, that is just absolutely terrible. But I think we all expect to see them take care of business.
Yeah, so it's the last quad four on the schedule and the only must win from a seeding standpoint. Like, you don't need to drop this game. Don't mess around with that. Don't end up, you know, falling a couple of places in the RPI, because you're right there on the cusp of being able to play your way into hosting, and you still have in front of you the ability as a club to play your way into a top eight.
Oh, absolutely.
National seed. So it's like, you don't want to put any of that in jeopardy by messing around and not putting your best effort into a game that you could easily look past.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No question. And I don't think they will tonight. I think it'll be fine. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. The bad losses matter in baseball too, especially when you're in a league like the SEC, where you're trying to be one of what I think is going to end up being six teams that get to host in the postseason, and you don't want to be the seventh team.
No.
And I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, but you'd rather be the sixth, because I'm convinced the SEC is going to get six host sites, so you want to be in that top six somewhere. And they've got so many opportunities.
If four of those weren't top eight, I mean, just the way this league is stacked, I mean, you're going to probably have four top eight seeds come out of this conference.
Yeah, you definitely have three right now.
Yeah,
Arkansas and A&M and Kentucky for sure. Tennessee would probably be a top eight seed as well. If I had to guess today with where they are at 30 and again, if this is all, if the season ended today, which it doesn't, but that's how I'm going to play it. So if they basically continue to do what they've done, like they're 10 and six quad one, quad two, 30 and six overall. The thing about the Vols though, that kind of hurts them, is their non-conference strength of schedule is 141. Hmm. South Carolina's is 79, for instance. And so that will affect them to a degree, not much, but it'll affect them to a degree. Tennessee is 10-5 in the league currently, but I don't know that I would disagree with that. I mean, I think South Carolina would be the fifth or the sixth, and then the other fifth or the sixth at this point in time would be either Vanderbilt or Georgia. Gamecocks, of course, swept the doors earlier in the season. And, you know, Georgia and Vanderbilt haven't played yet. They'll play in early May. So if both of them kind of continue to do what they're doing, that's going to go a long way there. For Georgia, Georgia's 27-9 and 7-8. They're having a good year. But here's what's up next. So they got Ole Miss coming to town, and this is a huge series for Ole Miss. Huge. Ole Miss is 29th in the RPI. So if they can go to Athens and knock them off and get a couple of wins, and they come out of there, you know, 22 wins on the year. I think they have a midweek, so they have like 23 in that series win. They're moving even more on the right side of the bubble here. So Georgia's got Ole Miss, but then they've got Clemson coming next week to town.
And then, dude, they go to College Station. So you're talking about the number one RPI team, the Tigers, will come to Foley Field, and then you'll turn around 2 days later and hit the road for Bluebell Park in College Station against the number one team in the country.
Man.
So you've got four straight games against RPI 1 and 2
mm-hmm.
is what I'm saying. So if you're Georgia and you clear the hurdle this weekend with Ole Miss, and then you go 2 and 2 in that stretch, I mean, see what I'm saying here? So that's where you start to play, like the SEC starts to play their way into seven host sites. If the Gamecocks can win, like Arkansas is not going anywhere. So if the Gamecocks can beat Arkansas this weekend, Arkansas is still a host. South Carolina's a host. Georgia's a host. Vanderbilt's a host. Kentucky's, I mean, it just, they keep adding up and they all play each other, but their resumes are just incredibly good. So there's just so much to be determined. But if, let's say you play this out, best case, let's play the three scenarios. Carolina loses the next two series. They're not hosting. They'll still be considered in the tournament because if you win a couple of those games, you've got so many quad one wins. Like they're still a two seed.
Yeah.
If you win, if you split, let's say they go, you know, 3 and 3, split the series. Probably right where they are right now. You win the next two, cemented. Like you're probably up as like a 12 seed or something like that. Especially if you win your midweeks, Phil.
Yeah, you go 6 and 2 over the next 2 weeks, including the midweeks. Yeah. You want to be there. That's where you want to be. You want to win both these next two series at home, even though one of them is, you know, against one of the toughest teams in baseball right now. This is a pretty critical 2 weeks here when you look at it that way, JB. I mean, because you can basically solidify yourself as a top 16 seed and host in at least the first round with a good series of successful games over the next 2 weeks. Because I don't think where the following teams are will let you play yourself out of that, if you get what I'm saying. Like these are going to be quality opponents coming in, and you're not going to be able to play your way out of that. Now, I mean, lose out, obviously, yes, if you go on some sort of crazy losing streak, but maintain, you know, win at home, don't get swept on the road. If you follow that model, then you're playing at Founders when it's warm, which is what your goal is here.
Today through May 1st, if it's a successful run, Citadel, the six, because there's not a midweek between Arkansas and Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Citadel and then those six in East Tennessee State. So you take care of those two midweeks today and then May 1st, ETSU. And again, best case scenario that they win both series. I'm not saying sweep now. I couldn't even dream that at this point in time. But let's say they win the next two home series and that they go to 4 and 2. You add the two midweeks, that gives you six. Okay, that gets you to 31 wins, 13 losses, and it gives you a conference record of 12-9. And those two series against the number four, number six RPI teams in the country, but number two and three teams ranked in the nation. I mean, like you said, from there, don't get swept at Missouri, don't get swept at Tennessee, and then you've got Winthrop and Georgia and – you know, you really, if you win that series against the Dogs, and that's kind of how it all plays out, you're absolutely well into the top 16 and you're knocking on the door of a top eight. Because remember, you would have, how many series you would have won too. You would have beat Arkansas, you would have beat Kentucky, you would have beat Florida, you would have beat Vanderbilt. And then if you get one more series win and you go 5-5, but the quality of them are all quad one, including a quad one on the road, and you never got swept on the road, that's today's resume for a easy top 16 knocking on the door of a top eight. Now you go win, like let's say they go to Missouri and win the series. I mean, and, you know, now you're looking at 18 wins in the league and things like that. I mean, you're, yeah. I mean, it's hot grease.
Just, handle your business. That's all you got to do. Handle your business for the rest of the month, and then you'll be okay. You'll be all right.
Yeah, it's another pretty crazy week. And when it comes to the midweek stuff in college baseball as well, Coastal Carolina is at 11th ranked North Carolina tonight at 6 o'clock. Third ranked Kentucky is on the road at Louisville. Jim Patterson Stadium will welcome the Wildcats, and they will do their best to not be very kind to them as well. And how about Arkansas hosting Texas Tech tonight too? Kind of strange. Kind of a strange mid-April Power Five game, if you will, out in Fayetteville. And Wake Forest needs to be careful. They're on the road at UNC Wilmington tonight in Durham. That's a 6 o'clock first pitch. And I would say the same thing about Virginia. They're on the road in Norfolk at Harbor Park to take on Old Dominion. Have you ever seen Harbor Park? Have you ever been to Norfolk?
I've been to Norfolk, but I've never been to the baseball stadium, no.
Harbor Park's cool. I mean, it's built right down there. Like when you cut through town, what is that? What's the interstate that goes under the tunnel?
Is it 95 through there in Norfolk?
No.
70 something.
No. It's
Hold on.
Mm-hmm. It goes under the tunnel. Like so they have the tunnel. You know why they have a tunnel in Norfolk, right? Same thing as the Chesapeake Bay, so the ships could travel,
right,
across it. Get across the bay.
What 264, 464, one of those?
That sounds right.
Yeah,
that sounds right. It's something like that. And when you come out of the tunnel, the you can see the ballpark over there, right on the water.
Oh,
it's
I see
a neat
that.
Setup.
Yeah, I see that. Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. But I'm not. Have you ever driven the Chesapeake Bay Tunnel?
Not driven. I've been in as a passenger. Yes, very.
But
not,
you've been through it.
Oh yeah, I've been through it. Yeah, yeah. I'm not a big tunnel guy.
No thanks. Yeah. I'm not. Anytime we go to Delaware to go see Carrie's family, we have to go through that thing. Dude, I ain't big on that, man.
No.
And like when you come out and you're in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay, but you like land is so far away.
You're not, there's no land. Yes. Dude, yeah, right.
All I can think about is, oh my God, what if there's a wreck? Like,
gosh, right.
We're going to be on top of this bridge or. We're going to be in this tunnel.
We're going to be stuck in this tunnel, right?
Yeah. The Atlantic Ocean.
Stuck in the tunnel.
We're going to be under the Atlantic Ocean? No.
That's almost as bad for me as like being stuck at the top of a roller coaster, right? Because that, for me, is probably one of my top five fears is being stuck at the top of a roller coaster and actually having to exit the car and walk down those tiny little stairs that they have. Oh my goodness. It's anxiety inducing. I almost need meds just thinking about it.
Dude. Yeah.
No.
I mean, even like on like a big Ferris wheel when it's time to get off, you know, and you're in the, what do they call them?
Gondola.
Yeah. The gondola. Right? You're in the gondola that stops at the top of the Ferris wheel or like,
oh, I don't like that either.
As you're going up,
yeah,
right. You know, and you're like, oh, come on, man. Like, it's like come on. One more half a wheel, dude.
Yeah, that's right. You got to load them while I'm at the top. You got to put them in the next car. Put them in the next.
Dude, I took the kids a couple of summers ago to, have you ever been to Santa Land in Cherokee?
Yes, ages ago. But yeah, I didn't even know it was still a thing.
Oh, it's still a thing. Yeah, it's the methed out park of the mountains.
You're right.
And the folks that they are very kind, but you know, I'm just not so sure that I would trust a lot of the people pulling the levers on some of those things that have been around what feels like 100 years.
Right.
And I took my kids on the Ferris wheel for the first time there, and there was this. I gotta be kind, Phil. Mm-hmm. This guy who was in one of the gondolas, if I don't think that's what they're called there, but he was not small. I mean, he was one of the world's larger humans.
Okay.
And he got stuck trying to get out at the bottom while I'm on the top. And I could look down and see him. And I'm like, dude, like, I've got a couple of 3-year-olds stuck on the top of this thing with me. I'm staring at the top of a tree.
Yeah.
No. All I can think about is the guy that's operating this thing has been smoking like Clorox and some sort of carpet cleaner all day.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But if you're lucky, that's all.
And you can't get off
of some sort of household chemistry experiment that he brought with him to work that day.
If I ever get down from this thing, I'll tell you, I'm going to bury this dude. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it took him 5 minutes. I'm not kidding. I don't know what the issue was. Yeah. And when he got off, he had one of those carts he had to go get on to get around from there.
Right.
I mean, it was blasphemy.
That pedal assist. Well, there were no pedals.
Of course, when I got down,
full assist, fully automatic.
Yeah. Mr. No Teeth in charge of the Ferris wheel was, did you have a good time? I'm like, what, sitting at the top of this thing for the last 15 minutes? No, I didn't.
Chilling? No, I did not. Thank you. I'm happy to be off. Yeah. The ride's a lot better now than I'm walking away from it. Yes, thank you.
From here on out, I think we're just going to do the farm animals. We'll just...
That's right. It's petting zoo time.
Yeah, we're going to go to the petting zoo. Come on, kids. Let's get out of here. 11 to watch in the spring game on the offensive side this weekend. Who are the 11 players to watch on the offensive side this weekend for the Gamecocks? That and much more. Hang tight. Inside the Gamecocks, the show will be right back.
Charleston Fitness Equipment is keeping South Carolina in shape. Clients have come from all over the Palmetto State to find that one piece of equipment that they enjoy that keeps them looking and feeling good. Whether it's a home rower, treadmill, elliptical, free weights, a home gym, or something else, Charleston Fitness Equipment keeps the mirror smiling back at you. Get in shape like the Gamecocks do. Visit CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Gamecock owned and operated and proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location, or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Cool Joe here, and when I'm not eating average jambalaya or celebrating endless summer in Destin, I like to eat pimento cheese straight out the bucket. And the only pimento cheese I like to eat is from Nana's Porch. It's award-winning, it'll melt in your mouth, it's good on a cracker, it's good in a bowl, it's good on a piece of bread. Also, don't forget, Nana's Porch has a hell of a food truck. It's award-winning as well, and they're here for all of your catering needs. So get online, nanasports.com. It's good. Coach O signing off. Endless summer, go Tiger.
For chicken cock, we get a medium to medium plus toast. The char level, we use a number 3 level char. If you char too deep, you start burning away some of those flavor components that you just created. If you just char a barrel and you don't toast it, you're going to create some of those flavors just on a thin layer, just inside the char, but not the actual depth and full extent of flavors that you're going to get if you toast it properly. All those elements, that's exactly what they do. They boil down to great flavor.
If you're in the real estate market in the Lowcountry or even in the Midlands, please contact me, JB, with Coast to Coast Realty SC. Go Gamecocks.
This break is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, the state newspaper's 2023 winner for Best Catering, Best Barbecue, and Best Food Truck. Visit BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
It's the final segment of the second hour of Inside the Gamecocks, the show, Palm Casual. Man, I tell you, I can't. If you've got an outdoor space, I would not shop. Look, I get it. They partner with us, so we have to promote them. I understand that. But my wife and I have bought multiple sets of outdoor furniture over the years, multiple from different places, which and there's nothing wrong with these good people, good stuff. There's nothing like Palm Casual. That's why we kind of connected on this deal here. There's just nothing like them. Like if you've got an outdoor space and you need to make it worth it, you want people to be comfortable, but you want to feel good about your investment, there's nowhere like it. They've got everything. And if for some reason they don't, they'll find it. But they're the factory. I mean, they make the stuff, you know, and they send their cushions all over the country. But everything they've got is phenomenal. Dock furniture, deck furniture, whatever you need it to be. Is it just a big like wraparound couch? And like you have that space with the fireplace and the TV above it, you know, fancy schmancy, and you need a big old nice couch for it. Do you just need a nice table just to be able to eat on? Things that aren't gonna fall apart in the sun. My stuff stays in the sun. I don't have to cover it. It's not going to get sun dried. That's how crazy good this stuff is. Palm Casual is in Bluffton. It's in Myrtle Beach. It's in Somerville, which is less than an hour from Columbia. It's in Mount Pleasant. Well, the traffic's probably more than an hour now, but
yeah.
If you travel the right time of day, you might be able to get there. Palmcasual.com. And if you're not from here and you just need to call them, say, hey, look, this is where I live, but I need some help. They'll help you. I promise you. I promise you that. Palmcasual.com, Gamecock owned and operated. So JC's got 11 to watch in the spring game today. And again, we're expecting JC soon. He's had some things he's had to take care of lately. And we certainly understand. We're going to come back to Sellers. I mean, I'm not so sure that there's a name bigger than that one this weekend. JC's also got Oscar Attaway in there and Jawan Howell, the running back transfer from Sacramento State. Gage Larvidane, Jared Brown, Mazio Bennett, the wide receivers, Torricelli Simpkins, Josiah Thompson, Cason Henry, Big Tree at offensive line, Josh Simon at tight end. And I think he nailed it too, to be quite honest with you. So hats off to Shane Beamer for, and again, we got Alex coming up, so we're going to talk to him about a lot of what Shane has had to say today and kind of peel back the curtain on that a little bit in the 1 o'clock hour. In addition, by the way, some news here that from Shane Beamer just a couple of moments ago that Zabari Sandy will be out with what appears to be a torn ACL. So that really stinks for that young man, a talented kid. But hats off to Coach Beamer for understanding that there is still something you can get out of playing the spring game and treating it like that. And, you know, for years around here, you had the fan base kind of clamoring, like, let's zazz this thing up a little bit, you know, and let's play it at night and let's do all this stuff. Let's make it an event. And the university did that. Not only did they play it at night, they've got Gamecock Park is happening, and you got bands. Patrick usually plays out there, but he's out of town this week, so he can't do it. And they've made it really, really neat. But then also, you know, they do everything they can to treat this thing like a football game, so they can learn at least something about their football team. And you know, one of the things that Shane, he said it last year, and I know that that he's mentioned it again this year, that look, so you will sometimes learn, you'll see something in a kid in a spring game. The light will come on, maybe something they haven't seen in practice for whatever reason. And all of a sudden there's, you know, maybe 30,000, whatever it's going to be on Saturday night, 35,000 folks in the ballpark. And this is the biggest crowd these guys have ever played in front of, especially a young kid. And he goes out there, Phil, and he's running all over the ballpark, and he's making plays, and he's got all kinds of energy, and maybe it's something a little bit different. But see, coaches can take that, and they go, hey, look, you see what you did in front of 30,000 people? I need you to do that Monday through Friday. If you do that Monday through Friday, you're going to be playing in front of 80,000 people, not 30.
Yeah.
And so I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of that. I think that from that running back group,
I'm interested. I can't wait to see Oscar Attaway move around. I've heard a lot of great things about him. I'm looking forward to seeing Juwan Howard. I say his name wrong constantly. I can't figure out why I continue to do that. Juwan Howell. Holiday. Juwan Howell. Not just his size, Phil, and not just his ability, but his opportunity in Williams-Brice Stadium. He played right down the road. Right down the road.
In Sacramento from State. Orangeburg, right up the road to Columbia.
Yeah. Well, like, do you remember when we, like, last year when Mario got in there? Remember the first time we saw Mario in a game?
Yep.
First carry he got. And I was like, holy cow, this guy runs with a purpose.
That's a legit run. That's kind of what I've heard about this
kid. I want to see these guys, like, are they running with a purpose? You can tell that in a spring game. You can see those type things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's interesting to see, like okay, so I've seen Mazio Bennett play. But it's been against, you know, lesser quality high school opponents, you know, here in the upcountry. So it's like it's going to be interesting to see him face off against, you know, college level athletes. And same, you know, with the running backs as well. I think that because like you, I'm really excited about Attaway and Howell. Just with all the hype that they carried in coming in here. And Braswell, for that matter. I mean, another year of development for him, I think, is going to be fun to watch. So feel a lot better about that group and that room coming into the season. But still, you just, you know, you want to get that taste, right? That taste of what their potential could be. You're not going to be looking at Saturday's game plans, you know, for the fall and things like that out of this. But being able to get some, you know, full speed film and looks at these guys is going to be, it'll be telling for kind of the direction that their summers will go, for sure, from a staff standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, this is your last little chance to see what this guy's commitment is here during the downtime, if you will. And then figure out how much effort you're going to put into him moving forward heading into the season.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, like, we're not going to see state secrets here. I mean, I think that there's a pretty good feel for Josh Simon and how flexible he's going to be. He's a player that JC has listed to, and I don't disagree with him. I agree with him 100%. I'm not so sure that Josh Simon's going to run out there and be showing you a bunch of routes at the wide receiver position and allow that to be on film. This game will be on TV, and that wouldn't do the Gamecocks any good when it comes to playing in the fall, because he's a guy who's capable of going out and doing that. He's 6'4", 245 pounds. The offensive line, you know, I would say of this entire – I mean, obviously we all want to see the freshman. Kasen Henry is a guy that so many people have been so high on for quite some time, and I have not been. And I have not been, not because I don't think he's a good football player. That has nothing to do with it. The injuries that he has battled, more times than not, it generally tends to not work out for these guys. And I'm very fearful for him that's just going to continue. Like, it's hard to, especially for an offensive line that has had problems. There's no other way to cut that butter. They haven't been very good. And I would love to see Kasen Henry be Kasen Henry, the player he's capable of being. So, like, it's kind of, I'm coming off as a jerk, and I apologize to Kasen Henry and his family, because I don't mean it to be that way. I'm just, from a football standpoint, over the years, generally offensive linemen that continuously have had these issues, not only does it slow them down physically, it slows them down mentally, Phil. I mean, they're very fearful that this thing can happen at any point in time. The dude worked his rear end off to get back last year. Major hat tipped him. He goes out there, like, the first play of the season, he goes down. No. So, I don't know, as a fan, look, the coaches aren't going to walk in there and go, yeah, look, Kasen, you know, sure don't hope you get hurt again this year. Like, nobody's going to say anything like that.
No.
But, like, they've got to be preparing, like, he's just not going to be the guy that they hoped he would be, and then be pleasantly surprised if he is, And I'm not, so I'm like, I really want to see him. I'm sure they're going to be careful with him, though. I mean, if he can go down in the first play of the game of the season, I would imagine it could happen again in the spring game like it did to Jalen Nichols. So I don't know how much we'll see him and how much we'll see him do and the whole nine yards. Like, what do you do there? I mean, is it pedal to the metal? Hey, look, he needs to play. He needs this pressure. He needs a defensive end to cut right by him and he needs to get back in the game. This is going to help him get better. Or is it like, you know, we got to be extra careful with this kid. I don't know.
I'm not sure either. I mean, you know, I feel like you err on the side of caution with some of these guys with injury, especially for, you know, guys who've had repeated injury, just because, you know, I mean, for Cason Henry specifically, that mental aspect, like he could be, the doctors could have told him, you are better than you were heading into last season right now. You are in top physical form. There is zero lingering issues with the injury. And there's still going to be that mental side of him inside of his head that's going to be the biggest hurdle to get over for him. Even if, you know, the best medical professionals in the world are telling him that everything's fine, he's better than he ever was, how he handles that first mental rep, and you can tell, you see it with running backs when they come back from ACLs, they get a little tentative and they're not cutting as hard as they used to, even though they're back 100% full strength. There's always that mental aspect of it that is going to be lingering. And I mean, another 3 months might be good on the mind, you know. Yeah. I mean, even if he is ready to go full speed Saturday, if another couple 3 months and then fall practice is what he needs to be mentally ready, I would rather see him then than catch a tiny glimpse of him now that you know is going to be insignificant as they go through summer workout.
I feel for him, there's no question.
Yeah, man.
He needs to play because they have a bunch of guys now, but I just don't know what that's going to look like. I guess we will I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. That Nichols injury from last year is still right in the forefront of my head as we head into this weekend.
Those things,
and I'm like,
they haunt you.
Just don't play anybody. Let's just have a dunk contest and squirt water guns and turn it into glorified field day. Fire up the light show and let's let everybody go home without injury.
Yeah. Yeah, they haunt you. There's no doubt. There's a name that's not on JC's list, though. It's on my list. I'll tell you who that is when we get back. Alex Jones ahead to recap Shane Beamer's press conference and more. Final hour inside the Gamecocks, the show coming up.
We have started in 1979. Because we're a manufacturer, we're able to control our costs. That's why we like to manufacture as much of the product as we can, because in our factory stores, we can offer a competitive edge over other people around the country. When people come into one of our Palm Casuals, it's like they're buying their car at Detroit. They're going right to the factory and buying their car.
30-day money-back guarantee. That's a big deal with us. When we give 30 days to do anything, I mean, return it, change it, get a different color, get your money back.
When you pull into a store and it says Palm Casual, you know you're at a factory store.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha at rescuesandresin.com today. rescuesandresin.com, and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Hey, Gamecock fans, Mike Morgan here. During my time in Colombia, one of my favorite places to eat was Salsarita's. When I go back now for work or any other reason, it's still Salsarita's. Yeah, I'm like you. I love tacos. I love Tex-Mex. Where are you going to go to get them? Well, you've got two convenient Salsarita's locations, one in Lexington at the Target Center and one in West Colombia as well. Now, if you like tailgating, and who doesn't? Whether it's for a football game or anything else, they've got the catering hotline. Get yourself some Fiesta packs to take tailgating. Get yourself the Three Amigos bundles for tailgating. They make catering easy with a fresh, hot setup. And again, you just call the phone number 803-543-6297 to set it up. You can also look them up online, or you can even download the app. Salsarita's is just a cut above the rest. That's why they're serving Williams-Brice Stadium in the South Stands, also serving in the Colonial Life Arena. Again, that catering hotline number, make it easy for you and the folks out there. You don't need to settle for sandwiches every time. 803-543-6297. 803-543-6297.
It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chief Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chief Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.